Here we are. Who did he think he was? I mean, that's the question. Who did he think he was? Here he is marching into Jerusalem. Well, he's not marching, he's actually sitting on the back of a donkey. But everybody thinks he's just wonderful. They are throwing their clothes in front of him. They are shouting, they are waving palms at him. And they are proclaiming him to be, well, the Messiah. And that's who he thought he was. He thought he was the Messiah. And he knew what would happen when the Messiah arrived. The general idea was that the Messiah would eventually come and he would establish God's kingdom. God's righteousness, God's justice, God's peace would be established on earth through the presence and the ministry of the Messiah. And I, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's me. I'm going to do this. He starts off enormously well. The donkey's a bit of a, you know, but the rest of it's just fine. And before you know it, the whole thing has turned, well, I'm not quite sure what you would eat 2,000 years ago in the Holy Land, not custard probably, polenta or something, but it all turned to that very rapidly. But of course, he was entirely on top of all that. It was what he expected, he knew would happen, and so he climbed up on his cross and said, well, this is just great, and there'll be a resurrection in a couple of days' time, and I've got nothing to worry about. Well, no, he didn't. Indeed, what we see is the enormous confidence at the beginning, perhaps not his, but the confidence of others, his disciples, his followers, those who believed in him. And at the end, we see his absolute and utter despair. Here he is on his cross saying, "Why, O Father, have you forsaken me?" Now, there are a number of things about this which are, well, this is the very heart and essence of our religion. So of course there are a number of things about it that are important. But there are a number of things that I think we could do with noticing. And firstly is that he starts off as a celebrity. He's as good as, well, who should we say, Beckham or Posh Spice or somebody like that. He's a celebrity. People are enthusiastic. They're shouting, they're yelling, they're screaming. They're not thinking very hard. Let's be honest about that. But they don't have to think. They can have a yell and a shriek and throw things around and have a jolly good time, and this is just wonderful. Oh, isn't this great? But it doesn't really take much for them to abandon all of this. By the end of the week, it's all gone. By the end of the week, far from acclaiming him, they're laughing at him, they're jeering at him. They're saying, well, if he's the Christ, let him come down from the cross. If he's not, well, who cares? And he himself, of course, is having to go through this most extraordinary process, a process of total detachment. Now, at the heart of the Christian mystical tradition, indeed at the heart of the Christian religion in general, there is this principle of detachment. And I can promise you that it's the one great principle that you don't hear about, because it's enormously unfashionable at the present time. Detachment means becoming detached in a sense from one's own sense of self, from one's own needs, from one's own identity, from saying, you know, I must have this, I am this, I shall be this, I will do this, I will succeed at that. You've got to become detached from it. And we don't like doing that. We particularly don't like doing it because we think it leads to lowering of self-esteem and all the things which we are told are so important to us and in a way are important to us. But detachment lies at the heart of the Christian religion. What do you think the cross is? But the symbol of absolute detachment. The Lord Jesus Christ has to become detached from a whole sense of who and what he is, what his mission is, what his place is in the plan of his Father. He has to lose it all. And he does. And he does very painfully, because that's how it happens. When we are detached from the things that give us a sense of who we are, of our identity, of our worth, of our standing in community, of our sense of solidarity with our fellow human beings, when we lose these things, when they're taken away from us, we are very greatly pained and agonized by it. And not only that, but we don't just lose these things with it, we lose a sense of self as well, which, as you know, is the greatest crime in the modern time. Oh, we must have a sense of self, our own self-worth and all those kind of things. Very important. So it is very important. But we live in a world of illusion, our own illusions. We don't know who we are. And so we cling to illusions about ourselves that are not us and stand between us and finding out who we actually are. that we are the immortal children of God, designed to live with God in eternity, and not designed to grasp at sex, monies, prestige, and all the rest of it in this world. In this world, we are to learn to become the children of God. And that means that we are not to be the children of Satan, or of self-indulgence, or of illusion, or fantasy, or any of the other things that go with the celebrity consumer culture that we live in. We are to be detached from these in order to find our true self, and it's not pleasant. And so here in Holy Week, we see the Lord himself becoming detached even from his own understanding of himself. He thought, because he had emptied himself of his divine understanding, he had become a human being like us, that meant he didn't know who he was. Human beings do not go around saying, "I am God." Unless they're in mental hospitals or something of that sort. They don't go around saying, "I am God." They don't know they're God. They don't pretend or believe that they're God. A human being can't do that. And so as a human being, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do that. He didn't know that he was God incarnate, but he knew he was the Messiah. And he knew that God could be trusted to see him through. And none of it happened. None of it happened at all. He lost everything. And at the end, he cried out in despair. Now, this is the journey which so many people have to go on. It's all very well to say, "Oh, I can lose all these things, I can lose all," if you've still got hope. It's all very well for people to say, "Well, I can climb up on a cross and I'll be fine, because it'll be okay in the end. It'll be fine." If the Lord Jesus had got up on his cross and said, "Okay, just put up with this another 48 hours or whatever, little rest in the tomb, and up we pop in the garden of resurrection and all will be fine." Well, that makes it fine. What makes it very hard is to have no hope, to see no meaning in it, no point in it. It's all pointless and meaningless and therefore hopeless. And that is the worst state any of us can ever get into. Not only do we feel that about, can we feel that about other people, but we can even feel it about God and about ourselves. That we are worthless, that we mean nothing, that life is pointless, that there is no God, and if there is a God, he's a monster, not a heavenly father. And all this God himself enters into. All of it God shares on the cross in his passion. And all of this he turns upside down in the garden of the resurrection. We tend to think that it all depends on us. We've been brought up in many ways in a sort of good Protestant religious kind of way where you're to, you know, God helps those who help themselves and so on. But in fact, our deepest needs, our deepest fulfillment, our whole life depends in the end not on us, but simply upon the goodness of God. And we often don't like that. The history of religion is full of the attempt to manipulate God and manage God. "I will do this, God, if you will do this. I will go on a pilgrimage. I will not swear. I will do whatever, just so long as you, oh God, will do this, that, or the next thing." And the result is that we are in charge. Here we see an example of somebody losing all of that. But we see that if we absolutely have ourselves made to let go, if I can put that's not English, but if we don't just let go, but are made to let go, in the end, God will see us right. And in the end, that's the only way we can be seen right. We do not have within ourselves what we need to be fulfilled, happy, joyful, filled with love for all eternity. We don't have it. It has to come from God. And we have to receive it. And that means we have to open our hands to receive it. And that means we have to let go of what we're already holding. So the way to the resurrection is down the Via Dolorosa. The way to getting everything is to lose everything. But the great glory and meaning and hope of our religion is that in that loss, everything else is to be found. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.